Roland had stopped storing goods in his gunner and was considering her question. Do you see the tiny hand at the bottom? The one that runs all by himself?
The second hand, yes.
Tell me when he's straight up. She looked at the second hand racing around in its own circle, and when it was in the noon position, she said, "Right now." Roland was hunkered down, a position he could accomplish easily now that the pain in his hip was gone. He closed his eyes and wrapped his arms around his knees. Each breath he exhaled emerged in a thin mist. Susanna tried not to look at this. It was as if the hated cold had actually grown strong enough to appear before them, still ghost-like but visible.
"Roland, what are you doing?"
He raised a hand to her, palm out, not opening his eyes, and she hushed. The second hand hurried around its circle, first dipping down, then rising, until it was straight up again. And when it had arrived there, Roland opened his eyes and said, "That's a minute, a true minute, as I live beneath the beam." Her mouth dropped open.
"How in the name of heaven did you do that?"
Roland shook his head. He didn't know. He only knew that court had told them they must always be able to keep time in their heads, because you couldn't depend on watches. And a sundial was no good on a cloudy day, or at midnight for that matter. One summer he had sent them out into the baby forest west of the castle, night after uncomfortable night. And it was scary out there, too, at least when one was on one's own, although, of course, none of them would ever have said so out loud, even to each other. Until they could come back to the yard behind the great hall at the very minute court had specified. It was strange how that clock in the head thing worked. The thing was, at first it didn't. And didn't. And didn't. Down would come Court's calloused hand. Down it would come a clout. And Court would growl, "Our maggot back to the woods tomorrow night. You must like it out there."